and the Spirit moves. And there is disruption. Identity is the place of chaos and the movement of the Spirit. Identity is the construction of race and other categories to define us. All across the layers of colonization, it's because of colonization that we have to come up with the category of race. My brother is correct. There is not enough difference between who we are as peoples biologically, genetically, that we can call ourselves a different race. There isn't. It doesn't exist, you see? But the construction of these categories to define us have come from the layers of colonization and the many invasions of our lands and of our ways of life. Race is about seeking to subjugate us, while others elevate themselves so that then they can control, rob, and oppress us. It is power over. But redemption and reconciliation is about restoring identity as holiness. For we are created in the image of God, the Imago Dei. The God I am restores my I am-ness. And then nobody can define me according to what they want. I am who I am because of the I am God who is with me. It transforms subjugation into gifts, vocations, ministries, into stewardship and sustainability. It transforms power over into humility that we might think of ourselves with sober judgment. Romans 12:2. Disruption. It is a revolution of the spirit. You see, not only did colonization construct race, but it also had a hand in the construction of theologies of hegemonies and hierarchy. And these have informed the structures of our churches and of our theological education. And they have created exclusions and disempowerment, and they have mimicked the economy of inequality. Latinos don't have the same resources, do we? And they have created the second-class citizenship of those who can't afford access to theological education. And that exists in our church. Disruption. Because las estructuras crean hábitos. Structures create habits. And in the church, we have lived into structures that cannot hold the new wine of a new generation and a new church community. Disruption. Disruption. Because we can find meaning so that we can find meaning and purpose in our callings and ministries that interpret the Spirit's writing on the wall of all the demographics that we have been looking at yesterday. Disruption. Because nos hemos creído the American dream, and we don't know how to do solidarity, and we can't do justice that way. Disruption, because we need to be a new people. Disruption so that we can create what Alexis called a home, a place for young people to find their way to God and have their spiritual hungers satiated and the questions of faith answered in relevant ways. A place from which to find our strength to partner for doing community organizing and economic empowerment and education and healing to come into our own holiness. La plenitud de la estatura de Cristo. And justice. Disruption because, listen up, 25% of the Latino church is going to be second and subsequent generations. Who are they? Let's listen from the book of Jeremiah.
But the Lord said to me, "Do not say I am too young. You must go to everyone I send you to and say whatever I command you. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you and will rescue you, declares the Lord." Then the Lord reached out his hand and touched my mouth and said to me, I have put my words in your mouth. See, today I appoint you over nations and kingdoms to uproot and tear down, to destroy and overthrow, to build and to plant.
A new time, a new church, a new generation who will uproot poverty, generational curses, and injustices. Who are these persons? They are Latino jóvenes, children of the Basilea of God. I use the word Basilea because it is a neutral word. If I say reign or kingdom or any of those things, it is a polluted word. If I say Basilea, it throws us into a place of something that we do not know yet. Huh? So they are the children of the Basilea of God, of a new order. They must discern the idols of their times. They must know what they stand for. The idols of this time are greed and self-interest and narcissism. But they are to stand for integrity and holiness and faith, reason, and justice. These children of the Basilea, they construct authority differently. Why? The first generation, we have understood authority as being authoritarian, el caudillismo of our different places that we come from. Caudillismo and authority that is authoritarian is about outer voices telling us what to do and about compliance to those outer voices. It is leadership as strength, and respect means compliance and assent. It is authority that keeps us as children. But this generation understands authority differently. Their authority is democratic. It requires a development of an inner voice. It means that they have to know critical thinking, accountability, and leadership is a balance of strengths and weaknesses. Respect is based on authenticity. They can embrace dissent as diversity. It is authority that makes us peers. Authority based on spiritual gifts, body of Christ theology, the priesthood of all believers. This difference is important to understand if we are to be in relationship as different generations. Here are some characteristics that they tell us about millennials. American teens and 20-somethings who are making the passage into adulthood at the start of the new millennium. They're confident, self-expressive, liberal, upbeat, and open to change. More ethnically and racially diverse than older adults, and less religious. On track to become the most educated generation in American history. Their entry into careers and first jobs has been badly set back by the Great Recession. But they are more upbeat than their elders about their own economic futures, as well as about the overall state of the nation. I love them. 80 million strong, the biggest age group in American history and in the Latino community. Globalization, social media, the exporting of Western culture, the speed of change. Every 2 to 3 years, it's like a different generation. Information revolution, these are the things that they live. These are the things that mark them as a generation. Hackers versus corporations, bloggers versus newspapers, terrorists versus nationalists, YouTube versus studios, app makers versus entire industries. Continuous learning beyond what they can find on YouTube and Google, because they use their learning for application and personal development. They need constant feedback, mentoring, and coaching, open to change continuously. Different than the other generations where only 1 to 2% of the people in the world do change. You know that, your pastor's in these places. They challenge hierarchical structures. They're motivated by meaning. Listen, Knowing that I am helping to make a positive difference in the world is more important than professional recognition. Seeking a connection between their profession, their vocation, their field of study, and their faith. The connection is not just, well, you know, you go into your workplace and you tell people that Jesus loves them. That's not the connection. The connection is about ethics. The connection is about integrity. The connection is about knowing how what they do brings in the kingdom of God. They're going to make all of us have to think about what it means to be salt and light and leaven. The number of young adults who say that they pray every day rivals the portion of young people who said the same in prior decades. Relationship, because prayer is about relationship, huh? Aha. While belief in God is lower among young adults than among older adults, millennials say they believe in God with absolute certainty at rates similar to those seen among Gen Xers a decade ago. Ah. 7 of every 10 youth believe that there is no absolute moral truth. 8 of every 10 believe that truth is relative to the person and his and her circumstances. And everybody freaks about that, and I say, hallelujah. Because you see, what we have called these absolute moral truths, who constructed them? What it says to us is that the questions that they have are no longer in esta cajita. That their questions are different, and that we have to be able to hear the new questions to our faith so that that faith can relate to what's happening in this world. Evil has taken new forms. There are new idols and new gods. And in order to understand them, we have to ask questions of faith that we never asked before. So don't freak about that. That's no big deal. The relevant question is the significance of life. What is the purpose of life? How can we make a difference in life? Out of the many truths to choose from, the one that best addresses the deep passions of their hearts will be the one that they choose. The authority of Scripture. The authority of the Scripture is not based on its literal truth. It is based on whether or not it has made a transformative difference in their lives. Isn't that why you read the Scriptures anyway? That's right. So who told us that we have to be, you know, bothering about if every comma and everything was there, if it was literal, if it was not? My God, it was translated so many times before it came to us. Did it make a difference? No. Can the Spirit still use it? Can it still use it to speak to me and to change me today? Esa es la causa. Can the teachings of Jesus, can being his disciple help me make a difference in the world? Ah, ahora estamos hablando. What is discipleship? It is to incarnate the love of Christ in their midst and to model unconditional love. And you know what? Unconditional love doesn't have to mean that I am this wonderful, loving person all the time, right? No. Unconditional love means that when I make a mistake and I really mess up with somebody in the relationship, I say, you know what? I was wrong. I am so sorry. I did not come in here to do all that, but I was frustrated. And I was speaking out of my frustration. Can you please hold me in that? And they do. Because I'm being accountable by asking for forgiveness and by saying where it was that I was coming from. And that's unconditional love. It means that we hold each other. That's what it means. Spiritual practices that create communion with God, meditation, listening to God, spiritual direction, rituals such as baptism and communion, that becomes meaningful. Something about prayer. We pray and we say amen and we get up and leave, right? Oh, how rude. Because if I came into the room and I talked to you, right? And I said something and then I turn around and I leave. And you're like, hello? Are you waiting for my response or what? Right? Wouldn't you think that? So why is it that we don't wait for God's response when we say amen? What, you think that you have the final word? This is a new way to talk. When a young person, you know, I deal with young people all the time, right? They're at the college. When a young person comes into my office, I have this reputation. Everybody says that I make them cry. I don't make them cry. is that the Spirit moves. And we both cry, right? So we sit at the table and we begin a conversation. And I always tell them, you see that chair over there? That chair over there is Jesus sitting with us. And a lot of them don't have never believed, have never been churched, right? But they do pray. And when we finish, I say, you know, we got to turn and we got to tell Jesus everything that we're feeling in our hearts right now. And we do, and then we wait. And while we wait, the Spirit moves. And when the Spirit moves, we both feel in our hearts, the disruption. And I've had guys, you know, the macho guys who have to open their shirts so you know that they're macho because they have hair. The others just wear ties. I just wanted to make sure you all were awake. But I have these guys trying to hold back that the Spirit is moving in them. And what happens when you hold back is what? You go. And they say, I just have the hiccups. And I go, you lie, brother. Is the Spirit moving? It's all right. Real men, let the Spirit move. Those are the conversations and the listening to God together. The spiritual practice of compassion, opportunities to serve in community. The practice of Bible study, confronting faith with the difficult questions of life so that faith becomes a bigger space. The practices of sharing the faith, storytelling as a way of transmitting and translating the truths of faith. Because in our stories, we ask and we test, is this for real or not? The practice of making ordinary places into holy places. So, disciples that make a difference, to love God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, and with all your strength. Luke 10:27. To love God with all your heart is the orthopathos, the correct feelings, the hearing, the emotions, and the passions underneath the layers of the expectations of the culture. It's when they come into my office and they say, I'm so pissed off because of all the violence in our community. It's when we cry together because one of our students went missing and a year and a half later they found her. They found a leg in the ocean. And we grieve together. It is to hear the heart of God in such a moment. And it takes place through prayer, through drama, through music, through spoken word, through art, through research and observation. But we have to be careful not to think that the emotions alone capture the fullness of reality. It is to understand, to love God with our mind, orthooptomai, to see correctly, involvement in analysis, questioning situations and limitations in their lives, analyzing the social, cultural, economic, political, and psychological influence of their context and the world. We are careful of believing that thoughts alone can bring us close to God, and we close ourselves off from the joy of life. You analyze too much, you see too much, oh my God, it becomes overwhelming. To dream, love God with all your soul, orthodoxy, correct imagination. We bring the sources of the Christian tradition to answer the questions of the context. How does our faith help us to imagine the possibilities of the world differently? Peace, justice, abundance. What does Jesus think and feel in our world today? Bible study, bibliodrama, prayer, and other spiritual practices can help us. And we are careful not to spiritualize everything. Notice there's a balance to each of these. To act. Love the Lord with all your strength. orthopraxis, correct action, looking for ways to respond in accordance with our faith in the world, to create a culture that represents the values of the Basileia of God, seeking to become agents of the fullness of God, seeking to create changes in their communities. Some ways to do this are art, protests, think tanks, creating new structures for youth. We are careful of activism and burnout, where we lose our appreciation of God. These are different ways for the making of disciples together. Could not the entire church learn from this? Would it not transform all of us together? This, you have to see this as an intergenerational piece, where we come alongside of each other, because remember, authority is not constructed the same way. Qué bueno. I am now at liberty to not have to be, you know, the one who knows everything. I am now at liberty to truly be able to say, mija, we're going to have to go to God and find this one out together. Or tell me what you have seen. Tell me what you know. Bring what it is. Ah, I love that. A partnership. It's not enough. Read the rest. Relationships are key. Be real. They seek relationships that are authentic. They text their phone. They do face-to-face. They're all the same. They're all the same. Social media provides more ways to be in touch. Chat, message, tweet, Instagram, Facebook. But they're going to check you out first. They come into my office and they go, they check me out, and I'm okay with that, because, you know, you can bring attitude into my office. Attitude is agency. If you don't have attitude, it means that maybe you're depressed. So I love people who come into my office with attitude. Yo, Dean, what's up? Hey, Dean. You know, we tell them, we teach them, you know, etiquette for college. Never address your professor as hey. So they come in and they say, hey, Dean. But I love attitude. I'm from New York. Nobody has more attitude than me. Hello? Okay? You want to bring on attitude? Get ready. No me cuque. Be a mentor. Be a mentor. Mentoring is a relationship in which one promotes mutual, did you see the word? Hello? Everybody say mutual.
Mutual.
Thank you. Mutual growth, learning, and development. It focuses on building a structured and trusting relationship. It facilitates the development of life and faith skills, assists in obtaining additional resources. It increases the ability to interact with people, group things from various backgrounds, cultural, racial, socioeconomic, etc. That's what I have to bring to the relationship. So I'm always building myself so that I can allow this to take place. And I always leave myself open so that mutuality and reciprocity can take place. A mentor is a trusted guide or a friend, a caring, responsible adult, a positive role model, a good listener, persistent, committed, and patient. What are the qualities of a successful mentor? Personal commitment to be involved with another person. Commitment. Respect for individuals and for their abilities and their right to make their own choices in life. I am not your mentor so that I can control you. Okay? Always learn this. You never control anything or anybody except yourself. Y cuidado. Right? Be honest. Okay? Ability to listen and accept different points of view. You don't have to agree with me. The fabric of our relationship is strong enough that it can take the differences. Okay? Very important. Ability to empathize with another person's struggles. Ability to see solutions and opportunities as well as barriers. Flexibility. And openness. And you see those opportunities because you are praying the whole time that you're listening. If you learn to listen, you have a great prayer life. confidentiality. Maintaining confidentiality is an important part of the mentor relationship. Without a commitment to confidentiality, it may be hard to build trust. My name is Tumba. The tomb. Building trust and rapport. Establishing trust and building rapport are very closely connected. Trust is the trait of believing in the honesty and reliability of others. It is essential for a productive and positive mentor relationship. Active listening is one of the most important jobs that the mentor has. Active listening. Be sure to really listen. When we think we're listening, but instead we might be focused on what we want to say or a story of our own that resonates, put your story aside. Pausing. Sometimes we need time to think. And we allow times of silence and pause in our conversations so that the other person has time and space to think. If you ask a question and they take a moment to respond, allow them some silent thinking time. Or allow someone to say, I'm going to pass on that. Ask questions that cannot be answered yes or no. ¿De qué color el caballo blanco Napoleón? You don't want that kind of a question. Open-ended questions invite more thinking and encourage a fuller, more meaningful answer. Reflection leads to transformation, friends. The name of my game is reflection, 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 because it makes me reflect as well. Communication barriers, moralizing, arguing. No, because that's not the way it is. What do you mean that's not the way it is? That's their life. Preaching, storytelling, my stories instead of hearing theirs. Talking too much, always offering solutions. Okay? So hard, especially for those of us who are Puerto Ricans and we're always solving everything. Believe in people, work with what others are most motivated to accomplish. Empower others to take responsibility. Accountability is important. Communicate honor and respect in a judgment-free conversation. Celebrate each person as unique. Powerful questions to ask. Incorporate values into open questions. What was significant to you about this experience? How do you know who could help you with that? Who do you know who could help you with that? How does that make you feel? What have you learned from the situation? What is motivating your action and decision to do that? These are just examples. What choices would give you the greatest sense of accomplishment? If no one else in this situation changes, what can you do to make things better? How do you feel about your action in this situation? When you accomplish that, how will it change your life? How do you see yourself changing as a result of this experience? 2-4-6-8 is a retention strategy that we have at the college, which means that every second, fourth, sixth, and eighth week of a 10-week course, we are sitting down and talking to the student. I have all guys this semester. And they all come in, and they're like, yeah, I'm okay with my assignments, I have everything going, okay, we're good. And I go, no, we're not good, we gotta talk. And then I start asking questions, and they go, you see, that's the problem, you ask these questions, Dean, that, you know, I really gotta think. They wanna say hello and goodbye. No, we have to think together. Because that's how we grow. That's how we grow. What did you do this semester that you think really made you grow? How do you know you grew this semester? And they go, huh. And then when they come up with an answer, I say, why was that significant for you? Why did it stand out for you? Oh, God. And we go deeper and deeper. So, morality is important because we are in the time of the gods where everything is gray matter, everything is in between, everything, right? Nada es malo. The formation of inner rules based on what is right or wrong, the inner compass, someone's inner compass, not mine, theirs. Values and virtues based on social implications such as respect, honor, responsibility, loyalty, family unity. Weren't those some of the things that we talked about that Alex told us, Alexis said were important to what it meant to be in a community? It includes the interaction between affect, intellect, emotions, and behavior. Decision making based on those rules or virtues, but they must define them. The ways that these decisions become behaviors and human sentiments. Because I'm in a context of poverty, everybody does what they have to do. You do what you gotta do because we are into survival. But if we don't have a set of values for doing what you gotta do, then you're gonna find yourself in some really ugly places. And unfortunately, in our communities, where you're gonna find yourself is incarcerated. I'm just gonna be real now. If somebody white does what some of the kids in my community do, they would not be incarcerated. They would just be, you know, they're just growing up. It would just be a growing up mistake. But when we do it, it messes up our lives forever because somebody decides that they have to enjaularnos. Because we're the dangerous people, right? And so this is important. I have to get people to really define what are your values and how is it that you're not going to cross that for yourself? What do you stand for? Okay? The ability to put into practice the norms of society or a group has to do with the network of connections and relationships in which one participates at the personal and institutional levels. You have to understand all of these different levels and things and how you operate and how they operate. If we think about this spiritually, it's about the inner life of the spirit, Paul and the life of the spirit, the internal process of the person, the role that the spirit plays in this internal process, the workings of the spirit in us. It's about spiritual direction and discernment. God created each person in God's image, okay? At age 2, you know that because they start, no. I remember a service, I said, vamos oral, no. I kept hearing this little voice. Eh? Estemos de pie, no. And the mother was, por favor, pastora, perdona. I says, no, that's nothing. God is in our midst. You hear that? No, God is in our midst. The Ruach of God is activating the I am-ness of that child. Aleluya. And then the mother takes him home. I don't. The inner voice has a me and becomes indignant at the things that go against that me. They are angry. That's how we know that they're going to be able to protest, that they can do justice because they can go, no. This me has an internal voice that begins as a set of impulses, and then it learns to respond and interact as we experience our world of family and church. That inner voice becomes compassionate responses, and then vocation, and then it becomes the passion with which we engage the world. So let's talk about the inner voice. Opportunities to examine the reasons for our conduct and the directions or consequences of our actions. Parents, pastors, teachers, and mentors model their own thought processes as we open up to show the reasoning of our own actions. Ah, see, yes. Yeah? We can also show these in the biblical characters. David, Samson, a spoiled little boy, right? His parents had him cuando ya viejos, and they would let this kid do anything that he wanted. And so he had all this gifting of God, but he was a spoiled kid and he didn't understand what to do with all of that gifting. Oh my God, I have only 5 minutes. You have no idea what we're going to have to skip over. But we have Rispa. Rispa is the woman whose 5 children were murdered by the state, right? And she stands there and she protests because she refuses not to give them a proper burial. And she makes David have to ask himself, why did he do that? Huh? Create contracts of maturity rather than unilateral rules where young people are not consulted. Unilateral rules cultivate an external voice that later becomes the external voice of their peers, the media, etc. You ever seen a really, really strict parent? No hagas esto, aquello, lo otro, right? Is that external voice of that really strict parent. And then the external voices of their peers substitute the external voice of their parent, but they never have an inner voice. Family or church meetings where we practice problem solving. Did you hear that? Church meetings. Where we practice problem solving and communal discernment. Do our church meetings sound like communal discernment? And where we analyze and deal with conflict resolution. Talk about what is underlying our decisions and difference of opinions. Articulate our ideals as they develop our morality, justice, love for neighbor, the fruits of the Spirit. Young people reflect the morality and immorality of their surroundings, such as the lack of resources, after school activities, jobs with a living wage for their parents, and adequate housing. So you do what you gotta do. This is why we create opportunities for social activity initiatives in the community with a biblical base, and they're very passionate about these matters. Very early on, we begin to do this. This is not an activity. This is our ministry, ongoing. Positive relationships with adults. A significant other non-parenting adult, a sonpa. Every young person needs at least 4 sonpas in their life. Significant other non-parenting adult. Feeling connected to family, church, and other institutions in the community. Connection is about that inner voice. The guidance and supervision, not vigilance. Yeah? And counsel of parents and church working in tandem to help them reflect on respect and other moral things. Cuando el pueblo de Dios se compromete, ¿qué pasa? Reason understands the inequalities and injustices, their roots, their history, and damages. Faith is to plant the seeds of life in the shh of injustice. Es que no le cabe otra palabra. You can't call it something else. You got to be real, right? And I didn't think that. I didn't know what you were going to allow me to do or not do here. So, you know. Okay? The seed in that ground will transform the very crappy ground which would deny faith. The seed will turn into justice. Why? Because that crap of that ground will then become fertilizer for the seed of life. ¿Eh? Pa eso sirve también. That is called my teología de la caquita. Justice creates a pathway for a breakthrough to life, light, and love. Jesus is the way, and he brings abundance. God is love. I'm almost done. I know that I'm up with my time, but I'm almost done. Greater things than these shall you do. In John, this is what Jesus tells them. And you sit there and you go, what? We're going to do greater things than Jesus? Yes. Why? Because greater darkness is in our days. And where you have greater darkness, you have greater light. And you will do greater things. In each generation, new idols create new injustices, and we need greater things. The gifts in 1 Corinthians 12 are not exhaustive. The Spirit will give us more gifts according to what we need to do in our time, in our generation. We need to create vínculos. Vínculos. What is vínculos? You don't have that wonderful word in English. I'm so sorry. Vínculos is bonds that Jesus makes for the good of the kingdom. Okay? If Achilles hates my guts, and I can't really stand him too much, you know? But his gift, his set of gifts, and my, I do that because you know I love you, right? But of his set of gifts, and my set of gifts have to come together in this time and in this place to create a disruption of the Holy Spirit, then he and I are going to have to figure it out, because God needs un vínculo between the two of us to do the work of the Spirit. These vínculos are the tissues that are necessary to bind together the different organs in the body.
Oh yes, él es un ojo y aquel es un nervio y qué sé yo qué más. But you need the tissues in order for the body to be connected. And so the vínculos, the partnerships that we create are very, very important to doing this work, to be able to do the greater things. You will do greater things. The power of the resurrection is among us. The power of the resurrection is among us. This is my generation. But my generation needs the other generations. I need Iban. I need Paula, who perhaps is not Latina, but she has made her place with us. And she is of that new generation as well. Alexis, te necesito, mijo. Hold this under. You have the power of the resurrection. You have the power of the resurrection. You have the power of the resurrection. And greater things than these shall we do. We have the power of the resurrection. We have the power of the resurrection. Gloria a Dios. Gloria a Dios. Gloria a Dios. Aleluya al Señor Jesús. There is a disruption of the Spirit, and the Spirit of the Lord moves. Erika, where is Erika? Vente. Porque ya yo estoy vieja. You have the power of the resurrection. Amen. Amen.